podcasts and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The Trump administration has been busy in the nation's federal courts over everything from offering millions of federal workers buyouts to its attempt to dismantle USAID. That agency provides humanitarian aid around the world, and in some nations, including parts of Africa, people in need are already suffering severe hunger.
A Trump-appointed judge granted a preliminary injunction and temporarily blocked plans to put some 2,200 federal employees from that agency on leave and reinstated another 500. Unions representing the workers sued and called the move unconstitutional. Only Congress can dismantle an agency. Cristian Benavides, CBS News.
In New Orleans, law enforcement is watchful amid the partying going on before tomorrow's Super Bowl. This is people are still mourning the 10 who died in a New Year's terror attack. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
There are different layers of security, even in the air over New Orleans. Customs and Border Protection, air and marine operations control the lower altitudes with helicopters like this one and Black Hawk helicopters. But for security reasons, they can't tell us how many helicopters will be in the air at one time.
In the West Bank. Palestinians are happy to see nearly 200 freed by Israel, and three Israelis were released as well. But both sides are concerned about the physical state of those former hostages. Israel's Ministry of Health says
the Israeli healthcare system committed to offering comprehensive, therapeutic, emotional and physical support to the family of the returnees and the captives as well.
Winter is far from over in the nation, with New England dealing with some 5 inches of snow. Bob Orovec at the National Weather Service.
We have a very active weather pattern across the country where we have systems that are moving pretty quickly from west to east, and they end up affecting large parts of the country. So this is just storm one out of several storms over the next week or two that are going to be affecting the country.
Bird flu is causing high egg prices as well as health concerns as millions of animals are sick around the nation. Some restaurants are putting surcharges on egg-based dishes. CBS's Lilia Luciano is watching.
I called so many businesses. I talked to owners and employees, and I said, is your shop empty? Are people scared? And they said, no, there's actual panic buying happening today because people want to make sure that they have their fresh chickens throughout next week.
But New York City and some nearby counties have shut down live bird markets after inspectors during routine checks found 7 cases of bird flu in markets in 3 boroughs, including Brooklyn. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Advocates are hopeful Wisconsin's new Office of Violence Prevention will make a difference, but could its funding be in jeopardy? Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Reggie Moore heads community safety at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He formerly led Milwaukee's violence prevention office during a critical period following a 70% increase in homicides in 2015.
The fact that cities are getting smarter on crime and the impact that these types of interventions can have in addressing violence before it happens, I think is something that people understand that we should be doing.
He says that starts with a public health approach to preventing gun violence. It's that approach, he adds, that contributed to Milwaukee's 4-year decline in homicides and non-fatal shootings beginning in 2016, one of the biggest declines in the country at the time. While violence prevention offices are not new, larger investments in them are. Moore says in 2016, when he started leading the Milwaukee office, few existed.
For hundreds of years, the country has taken a criminal justice approach solely to this issue, but understanding the fact that this is also a public health crisis and hearing the governor declare this the year of the kid, I think is timely given the fact that since 2020, gun violence has become the leading cause of death of children.
Governor Evers announced he's directing $10 million to the Office of Violence Prevention. The funds are from the American Rescue Plan Act and will provide grants to school districts, law enforcement agencies, and nonprofits to help reduce gun violence. It's still unclear whether the Trump administration will impact federal funds for programs like these. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Additional accumulation of snow today, maybe another 4 or 5 inches. We'll see a high near 24 degrees. For tonight, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 1. For Sunday, sunshine with a high near 16. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 18. Right now, it's 22.
Maggie Dawn.
Do you know that Donald Trump's draconian policies are hurting children right here in Wisconsin? Dane County's Head Start program experiences outages. We discuss at 3 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Absolutely. It's Saturday, 3 o'clock. Educated educators talking education. That's Busted Pencils. Yes, we are so excited to be here. A little bit of giggling and laughing behind the scenes. Anybody watching this on the YouTube will see that when I try to use hand signals to point to Johnny Lupinacci when they say it, of course, the camera is the mirror effect, and so I end up pointing to myself. And Jess, that's what you were laughing at, weren't you?
Yep, indeed. Indeed.
All right. Well, then, you know, here we are those Saturdays. You know, before we get jumping in, though, always got to check in with everybody. And Jess, since you started, how are you doing on this Saturday?
I'm doing really well, Tim. It's been a busy week. There has been just an absolute flood of chaos coming from the federal government. There's been a lot of action on the state level working to navigate through that, and some people trying to further push that chaotic agenda. But here in this space, you know, I'm always happy to be busting pencils.
Nice. Johnny Lupinacci, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, like Jess said, it's been a constant, you know, barrage of making sense of executive orders. I feel like I'm carrying around a proverbial fire extinguisher everywhere I go. I'm a lot of breathe, be calm. Let's take the information and see what it is, make sense of it, and then talk about what it means. Mm-hmm. What it means for us locally, what it means for us regionally, what it means for us nationally and globally. Trying to have those conversations as regulated as possible. So I feel like I'm tired from carrying a fire extinguisher around. There's a lot of fires this week. But other than that, you know, we're in the throes of our playoffs this weekend. College hockey playoffs all around the country are starting up and popping up. So it's a good time of year. But like Jess said, a little bit more tired than usual because it's been a whole lot of information that has, you know, for us, schools right in the crosshairs. And and related to that, put children in the line of fire and really turned our schools and classrooms into a battleground. Not that they weren't. So we already know there were some problems. But these last couple of weeks, you know, I'm always extra sensitive to when we're taking spaces, and we'll get into this today, taking spaces that should be safe and enjoyable places for learning for all of the kids in our community and for their families to feel like, hey, it's safe for my kids to be at school. But, you know, politically, this the last couple of weeks and really longer than that, but especially in the last couple of weeks, school classrooms have been a real battleground for politics, and that frustrates me. I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach. It's not new. It's just very heightened right now. And so, you know, we had a great conversation, you know, on Wednesday, class in session. If you haven't heard it, folks, get onto the Busted Pencils website over there at Civic Media and download Class in Session or grab it from Spotify or Apple, wherever you catch your podcasts. But this past week's Class in Session was with AFT President Randy Weingarten. I'm going to kick it over to you, Tim, to kind of bring us back to that moment. But today we're going to unpack some of that because she shared, I think, some really important information about navigating this particular moment, especially as educators, especially as supporters of public education. Yeah. So let's kick it back to Wednesday. Tim, take us there.
Man, you know, again, Wednesday. Yeah, check it out, though, too. If you missed it, you can go Civic Media, go to the website, and you can go to Busted Pencils and click on Wednesday's classes in session with Randy Weingarten and listen to such a powerful interview. And again, just a reminder, president of AFT, one of the biggest unions representing teachers and also healthcare workers and nurses. And Randy, you know, is a leader who has the ability to inspire when we're talking about this kind of, you know, say a full frontal barrage of executive orders, implications, lawsuits, man. And she delivered, you know, a real kind of cohesive, coherent message about what our role, what our responsibilities are, how to understand this moment from the standpoint of saying, this is not, as you were saying, Johnny, to go around and be, you know, panicking, freaking out, trying to put out fires. But here's the reality. Here's what's in place. And here's what we can do about it. So, you know, we want to appreciate Randy all the time for coming by and then spend today kind of pointing out the parts there to reinforce and remind everybody that, yes, while the barrage is nonstop, as some people might say, fire hose, the reality is that actually there are things that we can do and there's ways to understand this moment. You know, and so we jumped right in there, Johnny, you know, with the reality of that an executive order and how they come across and what does it mean, and the point of immigration, you know, and Randy right away points out we've got a problem with immigration. So she's not one to, you know, kind of paint that as, oh, there's no problem. We've got a problem. But in schools, the reality in schools, and in fact, she points out hospitals and churches too, but this has always been a safe space, regardless of immigration status for people, up until this new executive order, which potentially allows ICE, and I know that's a question for us, Johnny, ICE agents, to enter these places to enforce immigration rules. And how this could be very disruptive. I'm thinking, Johnny, though, the first question is, you know, what is ICE? What do we mean by ICE?
Well, Tim, excuse me. Sorry about that. Caught me off guard. But I got to back up.
Go for it.
We can talk about ICE. And Tim, you know, I'm very literal. ICE is frozen state of water, one of the most precious liquids on the planet. But we're not talking about that kind of ICE here today. So I'll tackle that one. And then I want to back up to something you said and just push against it a little bit, because I think I know what you mean, but I also don't want to misrepresent the moment. So first up, folks, what is ICE? And I cringe because I want to say, you know, it's the frozen state of the liquid water, but let's be real about it. Just dictionary definition of ICE, right? It is the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So you see Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. So ICE is a federal agency that works to protect, and we can get into like putting some quotes around protect. What does it mean to protect? Are we really at danger here? That's a political discussion. So let's just give as neutral as possible. Remember, you can't be neutral on a moving train, but as neutral as possible. ICE is a federal agency that works to protect the United States from illegal immigration. And I want to throw up some quotes because we don't really have clear, concise agreement or consensus on what it means to be illegal or to be an immigrant, and cross-border crime. So they're a federal agency that works to protect the U.S. from illegal immigration and cross-border crime. And they report to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, right, as part of a branch of government there. So that's the dictionary. So when we're talking about ICE, you know, as much as I think about the frozen state of water and a lot of what's outside probably in your neighborhoods if it's cold and freezing by you in this winter month. But we're talking about the Immigration and Customs Enforcement raids that we're seeing in the news, that's being referenced, especially to schools and classrooms. And it's kicked down a lot of leadership response. What do we do in our schools? Because remember, schools are locally governed. This is federal government initiative coming into conflict at times with local government policies. So this has caused a lot of leadership reaction in the last few months. And again, we'll get to it, really impacted how children are thinking, feeling, and learning in classrooms, as well as their families. But Tim, I want to back up, because when we talk about children and how they feel and their families, and you said schools have been a safe place. They haven't been a safe place. How many school shootings have we been talking about on this show? Also, you know, for how many people in our community who experience like violence, for you know, queer identifying children, for non-binary children, for Black and Brown children in this community, and you know, in a largely white supremacist school system, historically and contemporarily, in a lot of places where our listeners are listening from, schools are not safe. They're also not always the safest place for a person with anxiety or a person who has different in their learning abilities. So schools are not safe places, but I want to back up to where they ought to be. And the work we ought to be doing is making them safe places for all children. And that is, I think you were referring to, that's the goal. Right. That's by and large been the government initiative, whether they've done it, Republicans or Democrats, historically or contemporarily. We can get into the weeds on that, because I'm going to argue that they haven't. Schools, by and large, have been safe places because of teachers and school leaders and local communities ensuring that they are. Now, they're asked to be. And I think you're referring to, historically, there is law in place.
Right.
That schools should be safe places. But again, remember, Tim, we're in a country where school shootings don't seem to matter to most of the country. I mean, other than as news headlines and sad moments, and I don't want to be crass. I mean, I know they matter to you, listener. They matter to all of us because it's our children's lives and their safety. But they've been normalized. Schools aren't safe. Food in schools, often not the most nutritious food. Healthcare in schools, often not the best health for our children. So does America really care about its children? And this brings us back to Randy's conversation, where she was kind of talking about, hey, if we really are people who care about children, and she said, reminded us, teachers, by and large, a new listener out there, identify as a person who cares about children. And I believe that. I'm one of those believers. The class isn't half full. It's really full with people who care about children. But how do we bring that belief and value to our actions, right, Tim? So when we get back, let's talk about safety and what are the things happening in schools that are making it unsafe, and bringing it back to that generative conversation. One more drop for you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Ready, set, go! Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right. Love that. That figures happened. Hey, welcome back to Busted Pencils. Educated educators talking education. In the last segment, Tim and I were talking and I got off on, you know, I'm literal, the safety of schools and reminding Tim, schools are not safe places, but they ought to be and we should be working towards them. But I also talked about how Jess and I were exhausted and we've all been carrying around fire extinguishers to put out the fires of a lot of these executive orders and a lot of these unsettling impacts of those executive orders, whether they're tariffs, right, whether they're, you know, lifting of safeties, of policies that have been in place to ensure safety, right? So let's bring it back to that.
All right.
Why are schools feeling extra unsafe this past couple of weeks? Well, we talked about it. We defined ICE in the last segment because historically, right, ideally, hospitals,
no, school, legally.
Right?
Legally, Randy pointed
hospitals,
out.
Schools, and churches should be places, no matter who you are, that you have sanctuary.
Refuge.
You have a right to be there. It's in the health, your best interest to be in those places. Ideally, we know historically they haven't always been. But now legally, some of that executive order lifted that and gave permission to the Department of Homeland Security to utilize ICE. We talked about that, the ICE, in raids to presumably deport students and members of our community from those locations. So it lifted the sanctuary status of schools, churches, and hospitals. So that's making them extra unsafe to sort of find common ground between, you know, what Tim was bringing up in the first segment and I got hung up on, right? So Tim, schools are extra unsafe this week because of ICE and not because of the cold temperatures, but the other ICE.
It makes them extra unsafe and, you know, as Randy Weingarten pointed out in the interview that we did with her Wednesday for the classes in session, is that so that executive order is problematic, is a real issue for teachers, particularly right now, because of the other reality of a teacher's responsibility to the children that are sitting in front of them, that are in those buildings, that are there, because we have an operating doctrine, you know, and Johnny, as you pointed out, a little Latin for everybody, in loco parentis, Latin term, and I'll just read it here, means in place of a parent, okay? Refers to the legal doctrine that describes when someone is responsible for a child's care and support, even if they aren't the child's biological parent. The executive order did not override and do away with in loco parentis. And so here you can see then the conflict that could possibly exist when and if or an ICE agent might come to your school, come to your classroom and demand that a student or students come with them and be removed. What's a teacher to do in that situation, given the fact that in loco parentis is also operating? And so, Johnny, you know, that's a real tough space that, as you point out, schools aren't safe to begin with, but the reality of taking away the ability of a teacher to act in that responsible way of doing what's best, taking care of that child in that moment where, and if an ICE agent comes in, how do they make a decision to protect the safety of a child And let's not just say that, you know, Randy reminded us, not just the child who may be being taken away, but the impact of that experience on all children. Go ahead, man.
And on education and our schools. I want to back up because, I mean, this really isn't a conversation, again, about like, hey, teacher, what do you do? I mean, you don't really have much power to do a lot in that situation. We are kind of discussing this more from the audacity of putting a classroom, making classrooms a battleground for this. That is the whole purpose of schools, hospitals, and churches being sanctuary, that those are spaces that we are not subjected to those moments where there's real power at play. So a teacher should never be in that situation, right? Our children should never worry that while they're in class, they or their friends will go essentially away. And that's me being as neutral as I can about, you know, missing. Because that's what it's like for a child if somebody leaves with an armed person from your classroom or from your classroom to not return, right? So we got to get back to it. Like what, when we say like, what does a teacher to do? Well, there's not a whole lot a teacher can do. I mean, this is law, and it's also something we're allowing to have in our democracy happen in our schools. It should not be happening in schools. It should also not be happening in our hospitals. It should also not be happening in churches. And later in this show, we'll get a little bit into that church separation of church and state, but we'll come back around to like churches are important to our diverse communities. So those have historically been spaces where this should not even be up for debate. And that brings us back to like, as teachers, as educators, or in that phrase, the Latin, you know, in loco parentis, we are in responsibility of children away from their parents, right? And so when you're in those situations, especially in those sanctuary places, we can focus on teaching and the safety and the well-being within our power for what we can provide. What we are in as educators or school principals, and school principals are a little bit different because they have some local authority over their building. And school superintendents, you also do, right, have local authority over those buildings. And so they're in a little bit of a different situation. But in terms of our teachers, right, you're really putting them into a position of how are they able to do their job? Same with healthcare professionals. How can I provide the best healthcare to this person who is hurting or who is ill, no matter who they are, right? They have a right to that as a human. Well, on top of that, they have to worry about whether someone's being taken away from that space or not coming there, which is also connected to this.
Yes.
So students not coming to school or not going to hospitals because they need care or not able to go to churches to worship and connect with their faith in their community. So this is a big threat on American values.
Yeah,
I know it's being pitched as patriotism to do this, but it's absolutely the antithesis of that. When we get to the Constitution, it's against liberty. It's against freedom for all. It's against justice. It's against core democratic values to take away those important places that are here because of the founding of our country. So we'll wrap back around to that. Tim, take us out, man, because I just get going on this and I can't stop.
We love it when Johnny Lupinacci drops all of that truth on us. Yeah, it's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Man, hang out more and more. A lot going on here. Great interview we just had last Wednesday with AFT President Randy Weingarten. I'm going to come back, though, too, and kind of dig a little bit deeper into another attempt at what does it mean for immigration status and the reality of schools' obligations to educate all.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Some pundits are taking a closer look at the Trump administration's federal battles to fire millions of people and shut down government agencies without any input from Congress. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
The only thing left to opponents of Trump's moves, including obviously shutting down U.S. aid and apparently loads of other things, is the court system.
Even as New Orleans celebrates ahead of the Super Bowl, people are still remembering those who died in that New Year's terror attack.
I think they're probably going to beef up security because of that incident, so I'm not too worried about it.
Worries over the grave conditions of hostages released by both Israel and Hamas. CBS News contributor Robert Berger.
The men, ages 34, 52, and 56, looked thin and pale, but were able to walk on their own power.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens reporting from Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, where the Chiefs and the Eagles will kick off tomorrow night at 5:30. Running back Saquon Barkley had a phenomenal year for the Eagles, rushing for over 2,000 yards, and now is at his first Super Bowl. I asked him, how important is that the Eagles were here just 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's important for sure. Having guys like BG, Lane, Jalen, Smitty, all those guys that played in the game, but I've been playing football since I was 7, 8 years old. You know, obviously it's just on a bigger stage and, you know, it's more eyes, but it's still Set Hut and you got to go run the ball.
NBA, the Bucks losing last night to the Hawks in Atlanta, 115-110. The Bucks blew a 73-55 lead at the half. Damian Lillard.
We talked about at halftime how we know they, especially at home, they always seem like they come back and get in the games. You know, they play free and we needed to just stay sharp.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. Additional accumulation of snow today, maybe another 4 or 5 inches. We'll see a high near 24 degrees. For tonight, becoming partly cloudy with a low around 1. For Sunday, sunshine with a high near 16. Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 18.
It's 24 right now.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global Matt Randolph is back to talk about the Trump administration policies and how that's affecting us, heating our houses and filling up the gas. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Austin Pencil's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Full hour. Loving this. Loving that you're hanging with us on a Saturday. Hey, and if you're downloading this too a little bit later, we also appreciate you. And quickly too. In fact, if you are downloading and loving this, make sure you leave us a review on your favorite platform. Also, if you've got some thoughts, love to hear. 608-557-8577. That's the Busted Pencils mailbag. Concerns, comments, interpretations, you know, as we say here, really dropping an incredibly important, powerful social studies lesson here today in the context of reality, the reality that's happening right now, right in front of us. We're referring very specifically to our Wednesday classes and session interview with AFT President Randy Weingarten. And the moment that we're in, particularly looking at with schools and say whether or not schools are safe, they should be. And the lifting or the executive order that is now put in place, the ability for ICE agents, as Johnny keeps pointing out, not the cold, frozen kind, to come in to schools, hospitals, and churches, places of worship. And the reality then, too, of particularly here on Busted Pencils, talking about teachers and teachers being in that place to provide, as we said, we quoted in loco parentes, the responsibility to make sure that every child is protected, feels safe, largely from the standpoint of going, that's a teacher's job, is to teach and to teach well, then they have to guarantee a safe space for kids. And even teachers, thinking about this, Johnny, needs that sense of safety themselves to be able to perform those types of duties, to be able to have a confidence that the situation in front of them allows them to do their job, which is to teach well, to inspire. And by doing that, you are always striving towards creating safety. But, you know, moving a little bit further into the interview, though, too, we transition, and I say not really a transition, but I can hear the possibility that somebody might be saying, but we're talking about illegal immigrants, Tim and Johnny, and doesn't that change the conversation? Because there are public school children, American citizens, children who are citizens, they have the right to an education. I get that, but we're talking about illegal immigrants, and shouldn't we be allowed to go in? And the reality there, though, too, Johnny, coming back, there is law in place that says every child, regardless of immigration status, has the right to a public education. In fact, a Supreme Court ruling in 1982, Plyler versus Doe, puts that forward: public education despite immigration status, all children. And so that's the law, that all children, despite that. And so this is, again, Johnny, we're kind of just laying out, as you say, it's a big social studies lesson today here, but it's a social studies lesson in the real world that's occurring that allows us to, you know, get a deeper understanding and then also kind of paint a real vivid picture of the sense of how children might be feeling in this moment, how parents of children might be feeling in this moment, how teachers have to interpret, and maybe that's a bad word, interpret their responsibility and their role in this moment. I don't know, John, I went all over there, but, you know.
Yeah, Tim, and I'll have my teacher hat on for a minute, put my hood up, just kind of warm up here because it's cold in my place, not because ICE is here. And I have the privilege of not worrying about that because of my status, because of my citizenship. And then as a teacher, I want to share that I don't think this is a teacher's responsibility. Just like I don't think it ought to be a child's responsibility to worry about this in their classroom.
Right.
And so I want to just back up when we say, like, what can teachers do? We just say, like, this ought not to be And the solution isn't on a teacher. And I'm going to share that as a teacher who's had their classroom raided by immigration, not recently. I mean, this is decades and decades ago. So this isn't something I could pin on Donald Trump, right? I want to separate this in this moment. It's related to it, but this is a larger issue that has been going on in our country for a really long time. And I think Randy points to it pointedly. Teachers in mass care deeply about the well-being of children, especially the children in their classrooms, but children in America. Our government should be protecting that space for them to do that care work, regardless of whether that child is going to end up in another country or be moved. But that classroom where teachers come together, just like nurses and doctors, like they take an oath to do care work, right? That should be non-interfered with at the point of delivery. So it is not really the responsibility of teachers, but we've made classrooms, as Randy said, a war ground, a battleground. We've put children in the crossfire of a political war about who belongs and who doesn't belong, which your laws you're talking about, Tim, I'm also grateful. Those laws have been serving you and by and large our privileged community for a long time, myself included. But I'm talking about that those laws don't really matter when when laws are being rewritten. And even with those laws in place, immigration has a history of coming into these sanctuary spaces, right? And I'm going to talk about when they don't. Their presence around schools or just the threat of them being allowed to go into schools. Well, do you know what? Children are now not coming to schools.
Right.
The also resulting factor of this, as somebody who worked really closely with a community school that we built really close relationships within a community, really great attendance, really amazing, engaging education. Like Randy talked about, lots of teachers are doing or dream of doing, but can't necessarily in the schools that they're in. That's my plug. Support teachers doing this care work. But I've been there. I've done that. Part of an amazing school. I won't name it because of the complexities of this, but we can talk about that another time. That experienced a massive blind spot. Well, that's a really ableist kind of way to think about this, but you know, we didn't think about something because we hadn't considered that that amazing school was now almost, I could say, like a bait set, like a trap set, because we had a mass deportation raid at our school. It wasn't in our school. It was outside of our school. It was from cars. It was bus lines. Seeing children pulled away from their friends. This is the kind of thing that happens. I'm not, and you know, I'm not neutral. So I don't want to get into like, is deportation necessary and all these things. I have my political beliefs, but I'm going to be as neutral as I can be. What I ask for and where I align my broader politics is that we think about what damage we're doing to children and to our communities when we're doing it the way we are. There has got to be some rules, and you're referring to them as laws, but I'm going to say just some common decency around community, that we figure this out in the least damaging ways to the development of our young people instead of doing it the most damaging ways. And pediatricians who are experts on this, child psychologists who are experts on this, right? International Human Councils on children's rights, our experts on this have all said, politically, governments figure out what you want to figure out, but make it least damaging,
right,
to people, especially children. So teachers, we care about our children. Listener, you care about children in America. How is this misrepresenting this moment we're in, these threats, these images, misrepresenting the best care we can offer children in our community, regardless of where we believe politically they belong ultimately, right? I don't care if you believe there should be mass deportations, right? You have a right to that belief. I may disagree with you, but where I would hope we find common decency is that it should be done in the least damaging way to children. And I believe that's what Randy reminded us on Wednesday's class and session. And if not, that's what I'm laying down. Because we should not be doing further harm. None of us, whether you're a healthcare professional or whether you're a teacher, I'll group us together today. We take an oath to do the least amount of harm, regardless of where we're doing it. So teachers out there, we are not co-signing on further traumatizing children, putting them in danger, making it harder for kids to get to school, regardless of their status.
No,
so let's I'll bring it back to.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. 100%. All of that. And, you know, and my referral to laws or rules are also just to point them out so that everybody understands, Johnny, as you say. I'm also trying to present a little bit of neutrality in saying these are supposed to be the rules that we're supposed to be abiding by and utilizing. And they are supposed to be in that realm of protecting the child. And so just to remind that, and so coming back to the fact, and, you know, just a, and I wouldn't say it's a deviation, but to know that the process or the pursuit of taking away even the right of all children, regardless of immigration status, to a public education, right now that is a right. It is now being challenged legally. In fact, today, coming out of Tennessee, they just dropped, the Republican legislature there just dropped a bill that would directly challenge more than 40 years of precedent allowing local authorities like school boards to bar students without legal citizenship from attending public schools, trying to make it illegal or undocumented, illegal, you name it, to not have that right to a public education. Therefore, then, even more so than getting in line with that executive order, because if not all children, and in fact, children of illegal, undocumented immigrants are in buildings, now then, this lines up perfectly with the executive order to allow ICE agents to enter those places because it's not a right, particularly in a school. So I mean, pointing this out there too, just to say that, you know, yeah, it's we pointed out, it's a war ground that's happening out there. And so we need to just be aware, see how all of these things, you know, are kind of coming together. And Johnny too, I know, man, seems like we needed like a 3-hour show to really break this down.
Easily, because you keep, I just want to keep simplifying it because
okay.
You just laid out two really
important. Did I complicate it?
But no, but you introduced two separate but related issues.
Hmm.
Talked about the bill in Tennessee, and I think that's an important one because it's related to education. But it's separate from what happens in our schools and classrooms. And that's what I'm really arguing. I'm taking a hard line on. Remove it. Have the political debate.
Mm-hmm.
Should an education be available to all children in this country? You know my belief, yes. You know a lot of teachers out there who say, yes, it is a service like healthcare, all these things. Let politicians decide it. I have my view on it, but let them decide it. Keep it out of our classrooms and schools directly. Mm-hmm. And the COIR, I say they're related, but they're separate. That's a conversation adults need to be having and experiencing in the political spectrum. Stop bringing the war of that to our classroom. It's an important democratic discussion at a political level. We might not agree with it, but have it, but don't bring it to our classroom.
In fact, though, Johnny, you put out a word there too, separate. Hey, one more issue that we're going to be tackling here. Whole idea, separation of church and state too. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Experience love on the air with WFHR and WIRI. Now through February 13th, tune in Monday through Friday for your chance to win an unforgettable Valentine experience. Romantic dinner for two, exclusive tickets to the Bachelors on Broadway show, a blissful couples massage, and a stunning gold bracelet. Make this Valentine's Day truly special by showering your loved one with exquisite gifts from our cherished locally owned businesses. All thanks to WFHR and WIRI. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to celebrate love on the air.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, we're back. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Man, we are doing some talking today, you know, breaking down that incredibly powerful interview we did with AFT President Randy Weingarten last Wednesday. Classes in session. Make sure you take a moment. If you haven't listened, check out the Civic Media webpage. You can go download it and make sure, though, too. Hey, guess what? If you're on Apple Podcasts, you know, Spotify, sign up, subscribe to Busted Pencils. That way you'll never, ever miss an episode. And while you're there, leave us a little bit of a review. Let us know what you think about it. So, Johnny, though, I mean, so much going on here. And what, you know, want to say, appreciate your ability to take my deluge of information that comes out and kind of break it down, as you say, the potential for listeners conflating some of the things that I'm saying there and pulling them apart, you know. But I do want to, you know, kind of come back to, you know, we've been talking about ICE, and yes, we've said now, not that kind of ICE. We're talking about immigration and the realities that are happening under a new executive order from the Trump administration that says that schools, hospitals, and churches are no longer those places that were off limits to ICE agents at that time, and how that could be really setting up some real trauma for children and our responsibility as teachers. And I would say even as community members, as you pointed out, Johnny, all of us should be in full agreement that doing the least harm, protecting our children, is everybody's responsibility, and how this executive order now, you know, complicates that. And immigration status, what does that mean? Well, immigration status has meant for the longest time that actually it doesn't matter your immigration status when it comes to public schools in America. You have the right to an education. And how all of this is kind of coming together, say there are lots of laws, and pointing that out, though, when we, you know, kind of hit on this, I really appreciated, though, Randy laying out when we talked about churches and the reality there and how this kind of gets us into another realm. And we only hit on this was because we're talking about the Supreme Court is scheduled to rule on whether we can have religious charter schools. But this kind of allowed us to talk about what is the place of religion in American society. There was just a deviation there that we were allowed to enter into. And Randy really laid out saying, you know, where she is. And what is this? Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Tim, I'm going to cut you off there.
Cut me, man.
Love the wrap up. I love the back and forth. Great summary of the stuff that folks listened to in the last segments. Listeners, we appreciate you. Tim broke it down for you. It's awesome stuff. But Tim, I think I want to highlight that separation real quick and then touch on one thing before we part ways with our lovely listeners. So quick thing, when Randy brought that up about, you know, like she's married to a rabbi and the history of the important role that freedom and liberty part of our American identity, who we are as Americans, is part of our governmental rights that we have, freedom of religion. I mean, we overthrew another government to have this way back in the American Revolution. So freedom of religion is really important. But what she highlighted is like, we shouldn't have a forced religion be in charge of one, our government, or our schools as part of a function of government. And so we'll get into that more as we unpack things here at Busted Pencils. But that's a really important distinction. It's like, hey, we can be supportive of religious organizations in our community, even private and religious affiliated schools, but they ought not to be government funded. They shouldn't be our tax dollars, right? And we can get into the nuts and bolts of that because sometimes it gets all conflated together. The other thing that we really have coming up that we'll unpack even more is Randy reminded us, like, hey, don't forget, all of our students really benefit, and we need to focus on our students having a better education in this country. Every teacher listening is committed to that charge. Every politician ought to be. The role of government is to make life better for the citizens of the country. And we'll put some real broad quotes around that citizenship. But as part of that project, we focus on how do we make schools safe for everybody? How do we make American children matter? And that includes all children in America. So on that note, it's time for your moment of zen. The reward for participating in a movement for justice is not the prospect of future victory. It is the exhilaration of standing together with other people, taking risks together, enjoying small triumphs, and enduring disheartening setbacks together.
Man, enjoyed the episode here. Again, check out Randy Weingarten, classes in session. You can go back through any of the civic media outlets. Again, Busted Pencils, make sure on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can download that episode there because we really got into that. And you know, Johnny, too, before we sign off for a Saturday, just, a, you know, again, one more little reminder of where Randy kind of asked us to think about too is the engagement issue that we have in school. I'm kind of pointing out that, hey, guess what? For every kid, engagement can be an issue, particularly boys. And the reality here is that if we strip away the potential for project-based learning and vocational trainings, we're potentially stripping away something that all of our children, particularly boys, can be really deeply engaged. And then other two, again, the rapid decline in college of enrollment of the enrollment of boys. So Johnny, quick little
thought. That's a great teaser of upcoming shows, Tim. I just got to say thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jess. And thank you, listeners. Keep busting pencils.
Radio WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Super Bowl, see who won, who lost, and what the commercials were, the news headlines, and more. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep.
Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. A federal judge yesterday temporarily blocked the Trump administration from putting thousands of USAID employees on leave and paused orders recalling those who are stationed abroad. Then a different federal judge blocked Elon Musk's Department of Governmental Efficiency from accessing sensitive records, including bank account and social security numbers, through the Treasury Department. The judge ordered Doge not to destroy any of the information they have already downloaded. CBS's Willie James Inman.
On Friday, at least 19 states, led by New York Attorney General Letitia James, sued the Trump administration. The lawsuit alleges privacy and tax law violations after DOGE was granted access to a Treasury Department